Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Well, hello. Welcome to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. My name is Stephanie Whitehead, and I will be your co-host for today's show. If this is your first time listening, the eLaborate Topics podcast is a weekly podcast where myself and my co-hosts, Taiwana Wilson and Lona Small, bring you messages to help you excel inside and outside of the laboratory. And so today I have a special featured guest. Sean Tucker is joining me today. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you so much for letting me be on the show.
No problem. Just a little bit about the show. We are on all podcast platforms and all podcast medias. We're also an affiliate with LabVine. So if you don't have a LabVine membership, go on over there, get your free membership, and listen to us on their podcast platform, LabStream, where they've got a host of other laboratories featured podcasts as well as ours. And so we're really excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about management journeys and administrative journeys in the laboratory field and hopefully helping some emerging laboratory leaders who might be coming out or people who are thinking about going into leaders or maybe even seasoned leaders out there who maybe are looking for some guidance and a little bit of help as we go through this challenging healthcare world. Isn't that right, Sean?
That's right. It has been a journey.
Before we get started, I'm going to let Sean tell the listeners a little bit about himself, his background, and how you got into your laboratory field. What are you doing now? And tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yes. So currently I am the Director of Laboratory Services at North Kansas City Hospital. That's in North Kansas City, Missouri. And we are a type 2 trauma facility, about 450-bed community hospital, non-for-profit. I've been here for about 15 months and just really excited about the work that we do here for our community. Prior to that, I was in management at Children's Mercy Hospital, Advent Health prior to that. And I started my career out at the University of Kansas Medical Center, where I was a graduate of their clinical laboratory science school in their Department of Laboratory Professionals. I received my MBA from Rockhurst University with a healthcare administration focus and, you know, started my journey into management really through an organization called the Clinical Laboratory Management Association, which has now been associated with ASCP, our American Society of Clinical Pathology, and has been rebranded as our Council of Laboratory Management and Administration. Foremost, I am a husband and father to my wife Angel and our children Peyton and Genevieve Tucker here in Kansas City.
I was telling Sean that I love the name Genevieve. That's such a beautiful name for a girl. I like that. So you've got a lot of leadership experience. So I always like to ask this question. It's actually a two-part question. One, did you go straight into laboratory medicine? Like you just went into undergrad knowing like I'm going to be a laboratory scientist, or did you kind of just stumble into the laboratory field?
It was definitely a stumble, probably more likely a fall. My intention was to go to medical school. Like I think several of our colleagues in this industry do, you know, you hear about a few options in healthcare, whether you're a physician or a nurse, and that's about it. So my understanding was that I was going to do kind of like a pre-med route, which then morphed about four or five different times until I stumbled upon the program while in kind of an upper level microbiology course, where one of the instructors from the school came and talked to us about this career path. So I definitely did not plan that out. I stumbled upon it, certainly. But once I got to understand a little bit about what the program was about, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with not only the science, of course, but the technology, the hands-on components the visual learning options, and certainly the smaller class sizes once you get up into the school itself. And so I was very grateful. I thought, you know, sure, we can start in clinical laboratory science, get a few years of clinical experience before going to medical school. And that's certainly a route for several others. But what I found out was that I gravitated more towards leadership opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only met one laboratorian who went straight into this field as an undergrad, like just kind of knew that that's what they wanted to do. And the vast majority of the other colleagues like yourself and even myself that you met, we stumble upon it at some job fair or you're walking through, you know, your freshman or sophomore year and you kind of just walk across the table and somebody gives you a pamphlet. So I think that just definitely speaks to our need to increase our visibility where people know about this field and can hatch onto it and make a focus for their career early on. But my second part, I told you I had two parts of this question. So with 10 years of leadership experience, what are some of the major lessons or tips that you've learned that you can share with others going through their management journey?
I would say one of the first things that I learned probably the hard way was really just to kind of show up and be present. There was a time where we were about to have a snowstorm. And so I kind of packaged up things to be able to work from home the next day. And my director at the time, you know, said, well, basically, who's going to lead everybody on this day, right? Who's going to make the decisions when there are folks who are having challenges, you know, taking care of their kids during this, you know, a call-in snow day or trying to get to work safely? Who's going to make sure that the continuum of patient care is going to happen? And it kind of hit me at that moment, like if leadership's not there to be present, to be with the team and to help make those administrative decisions, then things can fall between the cracks. And so I would just say, certainly being present, Gemba is, you know, to be with the people where the work is being done. And so I try to round on a regular basis throughout my day, schedule time to where I am interacting, asking how I can be supportive, and really thanking people for the work that they do, just being present. I would say continue to see the best in people. Sometimes we can get inundated with projects, with tasks, responsibilities, follow-up coaching, counseling even. And it's easy to get hardened. I think especially in today's environment where we have been distanced from one another, to continue to see the best in every individual because folks will surprise you. And, it's certainly an amazing thing to see them grow, to see them learn because we don't come into this profession, wanting to do a mediocre job or wanting to harm a patient. And so I believe that really the vast majority of us have opportunities to really bloom. And being able to see that in each individual, I think, is an important attribute to leadership. And then lastly, I'd say surround yourself by experts and let them shine. Let them be experts. There's no reason to step on their toes when they're trying to provide their best advice regarding the situation. I will honestly admit to everyone that I am an expert in nothing, but I am a great advocate for those people around me. And so I want to continue to encourage them to learn and help us make those decisions, whether they are clinical or behavioral, to support our growth and within our organization and our team. And so certainly managing it up is a great attribute of a leader.
Yeah, I second all of those things you said. You know, when I first got into management, it was such a humbling experience for me because, and I've told this story on the podcast before, I literally was a night shift tech and I hated my supervisor. And I literally felt like, you know, if she can do it, I can do it. And I started applying for jobs and I did get a job in management. And boy, did I have a rude awakening. I mean, you really get to understand all of the things that you don't see as a tech, you know, the reviews and, like you said, the counseling, the evaluation, the budget, and all of those things that I wasn't privy to. And so again, a very humbling moment. And it was kind of at that point where I realized, you know, if I want to succeed, you know, growth had to be intentional. Like I had to really be intentional about surrounding myself, like you said, with experts and people who knew more than I did. I had to be real with myself about how much I did not know, even though I was, you know, a little smarty pants. I thought I knew everything. But also, you know, you had to make sure, you know, you were intentional about networking and putting yourself in circles where you could learn more. So for you over these years, what do you do for professional and personal growth? And how does that help keep you motivated? I know you mentioned the CLMA. I'm not sure if that's one of those things or not, but what do you do for your professional growth to keep you motivated?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say in my professional journey, CLMA has been instrumental in that. It was early on, I was working the bench in the blood bank, and there was a lunchtime presentation from a CLMA member here in our local community that was focused on international humanitarian laboratory support. And so she had volunteered with a local organization to introduce some point of care, basic point of care testing in Haiti after the earthquake. And so I was intrigued by the topic. And so I went to the presentation and soon met one of, you know, my early on mentors, Carla Orner, who to this day still works for Heart to Heart International and sends volunteers down to Haiti and other parts around the world, sub-Saharan Africa, as well as helping set up healthcare clinics across the United States in underserved areas as well. So we immediately kind of hit it off. We developed kind of what would be determined as a laboratory in a backpack that could go into a disaster scenario, and you could provide some kind of critical testing at the bedside that would go in with this team. And you know, I was early on in my career, but Carla was at a point in time to where she could really develop that, which then turned into Heart to Heart International's laboratory program, and has really done some remarkable work there. So that was kind of my first introduction to CLMA at the time through their local networking opportunities and education. She encouraged me to become a member, apply for a scholarship to go to the national conference. And then once I got, you know, to that national conference and was able to network with experts across the entire country and some even out of this country, kind of opened my mind to laboratory leadership in general. I just yearned for more of that education and that networking. And so I came back, I started participating in our local chapter and started to get to know several other folks within our community. I was asked to give a presentation of what I learned at the national conference since they provided me a scholarship to attend. And lo and behold, in that audience was my future boss, who encouraged me to apply for a management position that they had open. And so I was, you know, really just thrown into laboratory management. And I believe that without the resources that CLMA and now ASCP provided me at the time, I would have been completely lost. And so certainly CLMA, that networking, having folks you could rely on to ask questions, but also the resources that are available, really guided me early on in my laboratory leadership journey.
Did you ever get a patent?
I would also say that.
Did you ever get a patent on that backpack?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, we were able to present it at an ASCP conference, and it was pretty great. We met the late Dr. Farmer while we were there presenting in Chicago, so it was really cool.
So for those that are listening that may not know, we've mentioned it a couple of times, but why don't you elaborate on what is the CLMA and what are their goals and initiatives towards our profession? And, you know, what led you? It sounds like you were a very passionate member, but ultimately started to volunteer heavily within TLMA, and what led you to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to certainly give back to an organization that provided me an opportunity to advance my career. So I did start volunteering. CLMA is unique because we have local chapters across the country. And so that we can put on local education and networking opportunities for emerging intermediate and advanced leaders within the communities. It allows them to participate in some low cost or no cost at all education, receive continuing education, much like ASCLS as well. We collaborate with them often, and seek out, you know, networking opportunities to where maybe we are also finding the next generation of leaders to take on the laboratory. And so I started volunteering at the local level, which is a lot of work to put on educational events, you know, in your community, find speakers, find vendors to help support the cost associated with putting on these events. And strategically planning what our local chapter wanted to do for our region, for our membership. And, you know, the pandemic hit. And so that kind of changed the outlook of all professional organizations. And we had to obviously kind of close a lot of things down during that time period. Our professional organization, like many others, suffered during that time. And it was kind of an incredible journey where ASCP actually reached out and said, you know, is there anything that we can do to help? And we led, you know, about 2 years worth of discussion before CLMA then joined ASCP and became a part of ASCP. We're now a council under ASCP, the Council of Laboratory Leadership and Administration. So it's still the same acronym, CLMA. And, you know, we are just wanting to be one of the premier resources for emerging leaders as well as advanced leaders across the world. And ASCP is certainly allowing us to help spread that mission to our membership and continue it moving forward.
Now, you said something really interesting. You said, you know, volunteering, it could be a lot of work. And I think that's probably why you don't see many, you know, laboratory volunteers in many of the same circles, you know, ASCLS, ASCP, you can kind of see the same people over and over again. So if you're listening and you're not involved in a professional organization and you're not volunteering, please do so. Please reach out and see how you can join a committee or a council. Your voice needs to be heard. We need to have more people available to pull resources from. But for those who are listening, and like you just said, it's a lot of work and I don't have time and, you know, I'm understaffed and all of these other things. What would you say to them to kind of entice them or motivate them to be like you and volunteer? Like, what have you gotten from it that you want to share with others so they should do it too?
You know, I tend to think of what I teach my children, which is you never know who you're going to meet. And so always be, you know, your best, be kind, and be curious. And so I certainly think in volunteering, what you do is you learn new skill sets, right? I was the treasurer, and so I learned, you know, how to keep a ledger. I was on the vendor committee, so I was able to interact and meet with several different sales representatives within our region. So there's, you know, whether you're a president or a board member, you learn how boards work, and they will certainly prepare you to advance your career and how you can work in other situations, whether it's a committee meeting at your hospital, and they're using, you know, parliamentary procedure to get a second and a vote. Put through. And so volunteering can prepare you in several different ways. But, you know, again, back to what I tell my children is you never know who you're going to meet. And several people can certainly surprise you. Having those networking opportunities, being able to surround yourself by experts, bounce things off, bounce new ideas off, is incredibly valuable. I have very close friends to this day who we've been volunteering together for over a decade. And we call each other all the time to bounce off ideas, to recommend employees that can come work for them. We have a school here at North Kansas City Hospital. Unfortunately, I can't hire all the students that we graduate. And so I want to send these students off into the best organizations. And in my opinion, those are the leaders who I volunteer with on a weekly, monthly basis through professional organizations. That networking opportunity is golden in our profession. And I always try to remind students that our community is small. And so we often know one another and support one another. And so don't burn any bridges. And certainly when you are either networking or training or learning within an organization.
Yeah, the laboratory world is a small world. And so it's very peculiar, the people that you meet and then, you know, meet over and over and over again. And I will say for myself that, you know, being a volunteer, I'm a volunteer with ASCP also, has helped me to stay motivated in this laboratory career. Because as you know, Sean, especially being in administration, it can be very demotivating at time. Like you said, if you're not present and you kind of get bogged down in a lot of the day-to-day stressors without a support system, without a networking system, without, you know, I heard somebody say fellowship is letting you know you're not the only fellow on the ship. You know, you know, it can feel very lonely. And so it kind of helps you have people around you that you can connect with and network with. I always say your career is the strength of your career is the strength of your network. So you've got a really strong network, core people you can rely on. Then you can have a really strong career, and not just laboratory people too, just all healthcare people. I learned something from pharmacists and nurses all the time.
Absolutely.
And so you, have a background in, I guess I'll call it, is it a document that the CLMA has put together, really a learning roadmap called the Body of Knowledge? So why don't you tell us about that too, and its usefulness to leaders?
Absolutely. So CLMA has been around for several decades, probably 30 plus years. And, you know, about 15 to 20 years ago, they started to put together a roadmap for emerging leaders, really trying to find the next generation of individuals who are going to take that journey into laboratory leadership, and provide them with skill sets they need, across 10 different areas of management responsibility. What they're trying to do is create a competency assessment for emerging leaders, even but also developed and advanced leaders as well. So there's 10 different areas or domains, and then they're split into each domain is split into three different learning levels. Whether you're just getting off and learning, whether you're kind of in the mid part of your career, or whether you're in an advanced stage of your career, looking for specific information about a particular topic. And so, you know, some of these topics, you know, they certainly might include financial management, governance, and organizational dynamics. You know, like, for example, if you work in a hospital, some strategic planning, human resources, quality management, et cetera. So there's these 10 different domains that you can learn from. What we encourage is not just for emerging, but all leaders to start by taking an assessment. This assessment test allows you to kind of see what your strengths and where are your weaknesses within each one of these 10 domains. And so then you can focus on, okay, well, maybe I'll start with one or two of these weakness points and I'll continue to learn in those areas. Or you can just kind of, you know, cut around and go straight to what particular information that you're learning. And so, you know, this can be used for several different things. Certainly, you can personalize your own learning journey if you're just getting into laboratory leadership and management. It allows you to kind of start from the bottom and learn about each one of these specific subject areas and how it relates to the laboratory. You can prepare for a job interview by just going through and touching on a few different topics that you think might help prepare you for that interview. Or if you're already in your leadership position and you just need a little bit of information on a few different areas, you can certainly just go to those subjects and try to, and then find some information that can support you in your journey.
So speaking of your own personal journey, how has the Book of Knowledge, I guess, supported you? Can you give us any like examples of areas where you felt like you were weak and then you studied through the Book of Knowledge and now you're a pro, you're an expert, you're going to mentor all of us?
I'm certainly not an expert in any of it, but the body of knowledge was instrumental in my first management role. So I literally went from working the bench directly into managing multiple departments across hospital laboratory. And I knew that I was weak in several of these areas. And so I just started with the assessment test and kind of prioritized the areas that I needed to focus on first. One of the areas that I was kind of, I guess, a little bit natural in was just being able to communicate well with individuals from different backgrounds. And so I knew that I would, part of my journey was to build trust with them. But then I was able to find parts of the body of knowledge that allowed me to gain trust with them through learning and understanding of specifics, whether it is quality, and patient safety, health information management, being able to speak to a data analyst that's trying to support a laboratory IS project or validation. And then certainly when you have to interact with the hospital administration, primarily accountants, going over budgets and capital projects, having that financial management course allowed me to kind of prepare for that as well. So I understood how to communicate, or rather translate, laboratory to a CPA or an accountant. And so this tool was really instrumental early on in my career as I was trying to understand and better prepare myself for a journey in laboratory management.
And you're
going back to journey. Yeah.
Your story is not, I think, uncommon, because I think a lot of times in laboratory we find, that we end up having to just promote the best tech. You find the best tech like yourself sitting on the bench, and we say, well, we have this manager position, the supervisor position open. And because they're great with the technical skills, sometimes we assume that that translates. And then people can get in those roles and struggle and get discouraged. So this seems like it ultimately be a resource to help a person, like you said, who is just working in the bench and then gets thrown into this administrative world, which is a completely different world than working on the bench, and give them tools and basically a guide to help them be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Another instrumental part of that journey was the option, or the opportunity rather, to have a career ladder in my institution. So if your institution has a career ladder, or maybe it doesn't, I'd certainly advocate to build one in. And those career ladders gave myself the opportunity, basically off the bench at work, to grow in these domains, grow in these areas, and allowed me, it was fruitful in allowing me to learn skill sets to take on those next steps into laboratory management. And so I would certainly look for opportunities to where you can provide your team grace as well as time to see if this next level is an opportunity that they could be interested in. And you're not going to succeed on every single individual, but certainly you're going to be able to capture more if we can just provide them that grace and that time and that encouragement. And just see the best in people, and they can certainly surprise you.
Well, Sean, I had, for all the people listening, I had posted something on Twitter that said, if you make a good guess, reach out to me. And Sean immediately DM'd me, and I got him scheduled for the show. And one of the things that he mentioned for wanting to be on the show was he wanted to share his laboratory management journey in hopes to help encourage the next generation to take that leap. And so as we wrap up our conversation, I'm going to ask you, what advice would you leave for listeners that they could use in their professional lives that would help them? I think your goal in the show was to help them take that leap. What would you say?
Certainly continue learning, whether it's, listening to these podcasts, any online learning, in-person opportunities. And, there's plenty of reading available in the subject matter that might have interest to you, but don't just learn within, laboratory management or just laboratory in general. Certainly seek information outside of our profession as well. Stephanie, you mentioned the pharmacy and the pharmaceutical world, or even in the financial department, our hospitals run off of bonds and stock markets, believe it or not. So just having a better understanding of the world outside of laboratory will certainly support you on your journey of leadership. But I think most importantly, network outside your comfort zone. And so don't pigeonhole yourself within a box that is comfortable. Certainly make yourself uncomfortable by putting yourself into situations where you wouldn't normally be in. And I think, you know, pushing yourself to be in situations that are very different from, you know, how you were raised or how you grew up or the journey you took within your educational background allows you to handle difficult situations that will approach you in your professional career. And when you think about critical conversations that you may have to have within a leadership position, the most important thing is to tackle it as quickly as possible and be prepared for it. And I think that, you know, for me at least, being able to network and experience situations outside of my own comfort zone has prepared me to handle those difficult situations.
Well, Sean, you certainly sound like a person who has, you know, really had a journey of growth and learning and had to, you know, really get out there, like you said, understand where you were weak and try to get strong in those areas. And so for people who are listening and want to connect with you, maybe mentor with you or just learn a little bit more about the CLMA or body of knowledge, how can people connect with you after this show?
Absolutely. So I am on LinkedIn, Sean Tucker, MLS, ASCP. You can find me there. I also have a Twitter account at One World, One Lab. And then lastly, my email address is going to be my name, Sean, S-E-A-N, period, Tucker, T-U-C-K-E-R, at nkch.org.
I lied. I have one more question. So before we tell me about the Twitter handle, one world, one lab.
Yeah. So, you know, when we were doing that laboratory in a backpack, like our whole goal was to develop an organization. We called it Laboratories Without Borders, right? So you can kind of get the gist of what we were trying to do. You know, Medicine Sans Frontier, I don't speak French, but, you know, Doctors Without Borders is pretty well known around the world. And we were inquiring about laboratory presence. And really, in reality, there was not a laboratory presence in many of these, medical missions across the globe. And so that was kind of our area of focus that developed into the laboratory platform and Heart to Heart International. But early on, there wasn't really anything out there. And I know the ASCP was also trying to find this journey about global presence in laboratory and looking for opportunities through PEPFAR as well. We worked with FEMA here in the United States during that time to help update their policies and procedures and just looking for opportunities to really help bring laboratory medicine to underserved populations globally. So I'm really proud of the work that Heart to Heart International did, not only on like the global outreach, but also on the local level in underserved populations across the United States. They've done some outstanding work. So certainly a shout out to them.
Well, that's amazing work. Wow. That's very interesting. Well, thank you for being on the show today, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a lot of fun. Thank you, Stephanie.
And thank you for all of our listeners who tuned in today. Be sure to reach out to Sean at his Twitter handle, The One World, One Lab, and all of the other contacts. I'll put those in the show notes. If you have any questions about CLMA or Body of Knowledge, he's happy to reach out to you and help you connect with all of the resources you need to be successful as a new emerging or a seasoned laboratory leader. Make sure that you go back and listen to all of our other previous episodes. We are in season 3, and so we're excited about what this new season has to hold, but we certainly don't want to let go of all of the awesome content we have in season 2 and season 1. And also, before you stop this podcast or hang up, make sure that you share this out with a friend. Don't be stingy. don't just listen to Sean and me talk. Share this out with another person who might gain something from hearing this message. So again, this is Stephanie. I'm your co-host for today's show. This has been another Elaborate Topics episode, and we are so happy you tuned in today. And until next time, have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.